All right, so Tumi Morake is with us. We're having a very fun, very relaxed Wednesday in the middle of a fucking flurry of public holidays. But don't get too excited because it's the last one for a while.
Oh, really?
Finally. Tomorrow is the last one for until June 16th.
I'm judging this country, by the way.
Why?
We've overdone the Jesus thing. Listen, so I realized only this year, for some reason, only now, after being in the States for how long, that they don't go on holiday for Good Friday, for Monday. They're just like, yeah, I rolled away the stone. The guy's fine. Let's move on.
Right.
And I was like, but in South Africa, we're gonna put the guy to sleep, wake him up in 3 days, and then we're still going to go celebrate that we voted, and then we're still going to have Labor Day and Family Day. And I was like, our country has decided that we have two Decembers.
We want a bonus on a bonus on a bonus.
Our year is actually 10 months long. We don't have 12 months. We have 10.
Yeah.
And we're still standing as a country. I'm impressed.
It's too many.
Yeah.
Too many public holidays.
Guys, because a part of me was feeling weird about the kids going to school. I was like, but it's Good Friday. Why? I mean, isn't this the country that says God first, and you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
God America, bless America and no place else. Like,
right.
I don't know. I was
so
shocked.
Speaking of America, we were joking just during the break about like old South African TV, and I have such a soft spot for old Felicia Mabuza Sato.
Nah.
But she now lives in Atlanta, and you are in Atlanta.
I'm Atlanta.
With Earl, her husband Earl. My husband Earl, she always used to say whenever she was in the country and I'd interview her, she'd go, oh, but Gareth, my husband Earl. It's almost like a, you know, this guy. It's like when Oprah obliquely used to refer to Stedman.
Yeah.
She'd be like, oh, yeah, Stedman. And people would be like, tell us about him. And she never would, you know? That Felicia, have you bumped into her in Atlanta?
Yes, I have.
Really?
Yes.
It's a and big must, fucking place.
Husband,
how did you find her?
Husband is so doting. Like,
yeah, he's an awesome guy, apparently.
He is so chill. You know what he reminds me of? You know those guys who... they know their stock. They know this is my wife. This is what she's like. I'm going to let her shine. And then when she comes back, she comes.
I love that. I love when a guy can actually just let the woman.
Yes.
If he's not an attention seeker and he's not competing with her.
And he's enjoying her light.
Yeah.
Right? So Felicia hosts this.
I mean, she must be, what, 80 years old now?
Yeah, but she's
She still looks good, huh?
No, man. The genes are strong.
Energy, too.
Yeah. So she hosts this event. It's like a fundraising event, but it's also a great networking event for professionals from South Africa. And
then they
get connected with, you know, the ones in America. In fact, this was the last time
I saw...
Does
she walk around with a microphone and cue cards used in the old days with the Felicia Mabuza Sattel show?
You're so funny. This was the last time I saw Louis Gossett Jr. live. That was the last event I saw him
there.
Yes, because they're very good friends. So he was there, he was in his wheelchair, and I could see like he's really, really old. But it was so special.
Have you met my servant, James? Here he is with
James. It's rather
James.
Lovely,
James,
dashing.
Our servant.
Makes a brilliant coffee, he does.
Test it first.
James, I remember the first time I got a message
from
him.
If your coffee isn't to your liking, we can always take James outside and having beaten.
I must say, his name looks so expensive. I mean, the first time I got a message from him, an iPhone just wrote there, how do I pronounce his surname? James Eiley or Isley?
How do you pronounce it?
Isley, even worse. You see, I was nowhere near.
Hey.
And I saw it and I was like, Batunkare, you're bringing
Test your coffee. If it's not right, we'll beat him.
How can I spank him, darling?
No, we'll just get Flex to grab a stick. In fact, so we did bring in a dominatrix for him once.
Oh, really? Why? No, he looks so innocent. Why would you do that to him?
She smacked his ass. No, he was particularly like all over the place when we started the show here.
Really?
Yeah. No, he did. He got abused a little bit. People were, some of them were on his side, but most of them were thirsting. They were thirsting for blood.
Really?
We have a vicious audience, Tumi. a vicious and cruel audience. So talking about Felicia.
Yes. She is so lovely.
So Thabo Modisane used to laugh. He came into work one day and he said to me, Gareth, I watched the Felicia Mabuza Sattel show once. And there's a man who, this is not funny to everybody, all right? But I'm going to tell Tumi, she'll find it funny, I hope. Thabo said this man had been sexually abused, a man, by a woman. And Felicia was saying, oh, my darling, I'm so sorry. What happened to you? And he said to Thabo, Felicia, She raped me the whole night.
We're going to go to hell Tabo, for laughing.
Tabo thought this was the funniest shit he'd ever heard. So he'd come in and I'd say to him, Jesus, Tabo, I didn't sleep last night. He'd go, the whole night. So that kind of shit, now that I'm remembering it, makes me... Those are moments that you only get like once with one person in one lifetime.
For the sensitive Sally that's listening and going, sis, yeah, these people are laughing.
Yeah.
It's this not misfortune about the of this subject. Person. It is about how the thing was said in that moment.
Can I tell you
and what? If you ever used to watch Felicia, she could draw anything.
Yeah. Oh, no. And she'd say, oh, my darling, tell me more about the abuse. She was genuinely like, she was good at it.
And I love how, you know, when she'd put her hand like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
And so, in that moment, like, oh, I love it.
No, she was our first talk show host in this country.
Remember, didn't she once have the AWB in there with the extreme left as well?
Yeah, she was unafraid, that woman. And she broke ground. Remember, this was, we're talking 94.
Yo.
It was a groundbreaking idea to have this very beautiful, very eloquent, very... tied into the culture black woman, and she was facilitating conversations between extremes and wild stories, and like she deserves a lot of credit for what
she
did.
And she was the first one we knew here to go for surgery, for plastic surgery. Remember, she went for liposuction in her thighs.
Yeah, but I didn't recognize her after that.
Yeah, she went for the liposuction and It didn't sell liposuction to me.
No, it didn't make much of a difference.
But it's funny you should mention her show, because while I was in Atlanta at this event, one of the things she did do was she has this whole video that's just a journey of her talk show career.
Oh, yeah.
And the, you know, the big names and the impact she had on the country in 1994. And yeah, she gave me her number. She actually said we should do lunch. I'm just one of those people. I'm so Joburg. When somebody says, let's do lunch, I go, yeah, sure. And then... But I think I should call her and I must ask her when she's visiting. She must come visit you and come talk.
I love her. And
because she's so dope.
I think she's got so much good stuff to tell.
Yeah.
She's got such a grip on what was actually going on in those days. You can interview Cyril and Rolf Mayer and people like that. I don't think you're going to get the stories that you get out of Felicia.
I mean, she came here as soon as 94 happened. As soon as 94, we're going to plant back into the country, man. You're going to plow back into the country. I mean, she has stories as well about, you know, back in the day when Bongeni Ngema and them were starting out in theater and the work they were doing backstage, you know, during the times of, I think, even Ipintombi. So, yeah, these are people with stories, man, with just, if you want to remember the South African journey, they are, they're icons, you know. And I like that even if she may be considered forgotten or a king, a relic of the past, I love that she still goes, y'all can forget me. I'm not going to forget what I've done. So if a platform, I'm going to put up this stuff and we're going to talk about me, you know?
No, I think about her sometimes when I think about the people who've made the biggest contribution to having honest, open conversation in this country. Because you got to remember, and I was very young pre-94, so my memories are like any child. You know, you kind of have this hazy memory of playing and good times and
I don't have
action
hazy
figures
memories.
And shit. You have very, very, you have very clear memories of being a child?
Me?
Yeah.
Hey, you must understand. My father was arrested for treason when I was just 6 years old.
But
so
you,
some of
but
those
you,
memories
when you,
are
no, but no,
vivid.
I'm not talking about political. No, when I say that the country, we didn't talk to each other.
Ah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I don't just mean black and white. People didn't talk about anything.
Yeah, true.
Because having an opinion was dangerous.
It was very dangerous.
So we think now, we take it for granted that we've always just spoken like you and I are this morning, and like so many of us do when we are filling up our car with petrol or with the waiter at the restaurant.
And the people with too much data.
No, and we think about how it could have been if it wasn't for people, frankly, like Felicia.
True.
Who were there to show us an example of how you talk. I mean, 702 Talk Radio back in the day was massively influential too.
Yeah.
Because some people had never heard anyone of another race talk, like, except for in forced interaction.
Yeah, true. We'd only seen it with Phil Donahue and Oprah and those,
but those
guys
are Americans.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, we didn't have it at home on home ground. I don't even think
we knew
we could
do that. I mean, the Cosby Show was not an example of... That was not a good example of a happy black family in America, because Bill was probably doing terrible things to the rest of the cast.
We didn't know. We lived in happy bliss. There's a certain level of bliss I miss. Hey, I rhymed about the past sometimes.
Remember the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Yeah.
Remember that was before Will started beating people up on stage at the Oscars.
Why are you going to be like this? Why are you going to be that guy?
I remember the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I loved that show. Uncle Phil.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, God rest his soul. I loved Friends. Don't judge.
No.
I say no one told you life was gonna be this way. Gotcha.
I have never watched it since it was a thing, because I'm worried. I've done this with a couple of shows before. When I was a kid, I really loved The A-Team and MacGyver and Airwolf and all of those, right? Now
you see through the CG and you're like,
oh, the CG, the car accidents are so shit. They're at like 4.5 kilometers an hour. The explosions are just dust, really. And everybody always gets out alive. You're like, oh, well, that's why I used to drive so badly.
Because
I thought, oh, well, everyone gets out alive. Fuck. A-Team.
No, but you have to watch Friends. The comedy.
Should I?
It's so well written. The comedy is so well written.
I want to watch Le Silo.
Le Silo.
Rula
what were you doing as a little blonde white boy watching Lisilo Rula?
Listen, I used to watch this show.
Oh, but you didn't have a choice. Do you know how hard my kids laughed? They laughed till they had tears in their eyes. And I was like, why is it so funny? Because I was telling them there was a time when all we had was TV 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, we didn't have a
choice.
They
thought it was the funniest thing
we all watched
they've
the
ever
same
heard.
Shit. And that was probably some way of us ending up being together as well. Because I used to watch things like that. I used to watch Spider-Man in
Rabubi.
Yeah, Rabubi in Setswana.
On Radio 2000. In I used to watch the Young Rustaluasa.
Oh, did you? Because they used to dub shit as well, right? And I was hated watching the really bad Afrikaans dubbing. So then I'd have to find a radio and like
it's
try.
It's always been strange. You know what used to kill me? In the heat of the night, because. What they called it in Sesotho broke me. Koduyamala fifing la busi. I was like, what? And there was this guy called Boba, right?
Boba.
But now when they do it in Sesotho, hela Baba.
There's some things that were kind of charming about it, because now, of course, you can get anything anytime you
want. Yeah, you get subtitles.
So the kids don't have shared experiences of watching things like we would have had. Dude, did you watch the episode yesterday of whatever?
Yeah.
And sometimes I'd get home from school, and my brother was always like really studious and disciplined. He'd do his homework, and I'd like watch the soaps. I'd be like, this is such mindless shit, but I'm now I suddenly give a fuck about Kelly Capwell and whether she's gonna fall in love with Joe for the 24th time. Like, what am I doing?
And is Stefano De Mero gonna come back to life?
And people go, you know, well, Gareth reads a lot. I'm like, well, I spend an inordinate amount of my fucking childhood just watching the most dumb, mindless shit. Rista Luisa Yara and Young and the Restless and Bold and the Beautiful and Loving.
And Santa Barbara. I'm like, tell me you watched Santa Barbara.
Well, that's the one I was just quoting from. But I'd catch on quickly that I can see where the story arc's going. And then I'd get bored.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like I'd do it every day, but every couple of days I'd be like, yeah, I think I'll just lie. Because you don't have to think. I get what people get from soaps, right? Have to think about it.
Mm.
It's a bit of mindless escapism. I suppose that's what reality TV is
too. Yeah, it's like wrestling. I think that's the thing I really like about wrestling. Like,
wrestling.
Oh my God. Now my kids are getting into wrestling and they're watching it.
Yes.
And you know, I'm watching the greats being inducted into the Hall of Fame. and I know who they are, and I'm telling them this was my mom's favorite wrestler. And then my kids are shocked that my mom watched wrestling. I was like, well, there came a point in my mom's life where she wasn't doing anything anymore, and literally that's all she did was watch wrestling, you know.
Really, that's what she got into.
Yeah, but like when Eddie Guerrero passed away, my mother was devastated. It was like a friend of hers had passed away.
Wow.
No, my mother was invested. There were wrestlers she hated, to the point where the guys came and was like, yes, I hate this guy. You have to tell me when they're finished. Yeah, he must beat the, I hate this guy. I don't want to watch him.
That's like, amazing.
Mom, you know it's fake, right? It's fake. So yeah, no, I get it. I get it. Sometimes you do need something mindless. I mean, right now, like with my kids, what you're saying about, you know, they can't just, hey, did you watch this yesterday? I've realized they're doing that with YouTube. It's their YouTubers. It's like, have you seen what this YouTuber is doing? And they start to speak like a lot of them. Like my middle kid, sometimes I don't understand anything he says.
Have we still got the skr, skr, skr thing?
The prayer.
I want you to just find that. Find the original clip of the guy going skr, skr, miskr. You try and explain this shit to me. And then we found someone in the office who could. They translated the whole
clip
to me.
How old is that person?
Amos.
They have to be
Amos?
He must be late teens.
Like, he's in the youngest like quartile of our people here. So he must be like in early 20s.
Yeah,
but he understood this dude.
Yeah, but even then, even at 21, you're starting to kind of lose that language and not understand. Like,
well, there's a whole language.
Yeah.
Someone says here, Stefano and Marlena, when she was demon-possessed.
Oh my gosh.
I don't even know which
that
soap
was.
That
too
was.
Much.
Everybody loved that.
That is Days of Our Lives.
She had like the eyes. What happened to the eyes? And then she'd
laugh.
I love that they made her a demon. That's so great.
I watched that thing for so long. What they did with Marlena for so long reminds me of when The Bold and the Beautiful, when Brooke and Richard get back together and it's their first night together. And you know, from Wednesday until Friday, it's their lovemaking scene. So What's the point of watching? You know the thing they do with the fashion show? Where you'd be watching the fashion show for 3 days. They would do that with those two, where everybody else is an actual storyline. And you're like, I want to get this straight. These people are doing this thing and it's one round. It's not like they're showing you they're doing different things all the time. There will be a conversation with Stephanie and someone else, and maybe a conversation with Thorn and whoever. But Ridge and Brooke, it's music and they are just getting
loving. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And they don't actually get to the actual lovemaking until Friday. And what about that is now I'm sitting in my grandmother's house. We're watching this thing.
Oh, it's so awkward.
It gets to those are the days we can't watch. No, but those are the days that we can't watch The Bold. Like, we could follow the storyline, but as soon as those two are going into their things, it's God's side. Now we're missing out on the little storylines in between because they don't want us to see this thing.
Oh, that's great. Someone says a Pumpkin Patch was their favorite
pumpkin
soap opera.
Patch. Whoa, Pumpkin Patch. You know what? They underestimate. I agree with you, Wena. Who is this person? I agree. What Pumpkin Patch actually
was a soap.
They were giving us soapies. They
you
were
think
giving
so?
Soapies pro- no, proper.
I never understood why that dog was so fucking big.
Woofles.
And yeah, Woofles. And then, again, the family dynamic. I don't know. There was Uncle Bill.
And then there was Freckles and Spickles.
But there was that other chick as well. And she, I don't know what her name was.
Yeah.
And then Freckles and Speckles, very weird. These two, like no
they
one
were
else.
A blended family.
No one else is a puppet. They're two fucking puppets.
Yeah, they were a blended family.
I don't know. I
oh
found
my
the,
gosh.
Those puppets.
Pumpkin Patch.
I don't like those puppets.
And Featherfoot Farm for you and me.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Featherfoot Farm was nice.
That was you know what? We actually had a good. We had a
and
good time.
Hexy.
It was a good time to be here.
No, we had the best.
We
TV.
Had the best TV.
We had Black Cat. Remember Black Cat?
Oh, of course, I
Black
remember
Cat
Black
was
Cat.
Nice.
Man, did I not want to start a gang in
really?
My neighborhood after watching that show? I had the, I did. I wanted to start a gang, and we would go and do like good stuff, like rescue fucking cats or help an old lady or whatever. I mean, I should have been allowed to start this. My parents were like, "You're not starting a gang."
Why did you discuss this? Your first mistake was discussing it with your parents.
No, actually, I don't even know if I did. I think they caught me and some of my friends doing something. That was gang related, but not in a bad way. Like we were in a gang, we were all dressed the same or whatever, riding our bikes. We were like, and then they were like,
yourself?
"You stop this gang shit right now."
I'm here for what you called yourselves. What
I can't remember
yourself?
What we called ourselves, but I do recall that if I left the house after, like on a public holiday or a weekend or whatever, if I left the house as soon as the sun was up, was with my friends, wherever it could have been, like. riding our bikes down the street. It could have been going to school. It could have been anything. As long as I was home before the sun went down, all was well.
Yeah.
Then we were fine.
So the next thing you join a gang and
It would have sundown. You know, slippery slope, man. Slippery slope. Next thing I'd be Trinidad Aragua and Trump will be sending me back to El Salvador to go into the gulag. That's the
next
end of it.
Next thing you're mixing your Marmite with peanut butter, like you were going dangerous.
Right. Dangerous.
Yes. It's dark, man.
Oh.
I'm glad they saved you when I got
it. It would have been such a terrible story. This wouldn't be where we would be meeting. It would have been in a booth at the prison. Where you do me, please. You got to help me.
I'm rich.
Do me. Please make me laugh. It's all I've got. If I hadn't started that gang shit in my fucking teens. Oh, man. We just dodged a bullet, hey? So Stray Mate says Matt Perry was my all-time favorite character from Friends. Oh, I loved his humor and sarcasm.
Yeah, why is it that the funniest people are the ones with
such... Don't say it. The die first. Don't say that.
No, with such darkness.
Oh, always.
He was battling depression as always. Well. And he was always my favorite as well on Friends.
I got to commend you. You are one of maybe three actual comedians I have on the show who don't go to like super dark places straight away. Because so many of them, we joke about it, everybody in the audience knows too. Most comedians, you have them here and it turns into a therapy session.
Mm.
And with you, I just laugh and talk shit. And look, we talk serious stuff too, yeah, which is also cool because I do believe we've known each other now a long enough time for us to not just be superficial. But it's so nice that you actually will use your magic on us and make us laugh as well. Because most comic, I don't know if they feel that they must charge me for that. You know, that they must charge the audience. How much are you paying for this morning? I don't know if that's something subconsciously that affects it. Or if we just get into really great conversation and it goes there.
I think you get people so comfortable that they can take off the mask. Because I think for anyone to admit that they're dealing with darkness or they're in a dark space, it takes a lot. You know what I mean? So... I don't know.
Well, why do you think it is? Are they honest enough with themselves that comics in general can straddle both parts of that divide? They can be privately very depressed and unhappy and dark, and then publicly they switch it on because they can mine deep.
Yeah, that's
and
the
you have
job.
To be able to do that, right?
It's the job. But I think all of us, doesn't matter what your vocation is, we are all wearing masks to get us through. And then with comics, it just becomes more pronounced because when we are making you feel good, we're kind of absorbing your darkness. And when we leave, we need to somehow take that off. And I think a lot of us carry it home and carry it on. So I don't know. I mean, I've been through my darkness and I'm like, man, I've been through it. Let's go to the next thing. On to the next thing. If I have to revisit it, I'll revisit it. But, you know, I've also learned to not just fight my demons. Sometimes I must twerk with my demons. We must dance.
Twerk with
your demons. Yeah, twerk with
my
demons.
There we go. I'm going to make sure that that's
there for a reason.
That's written in your bio, is that twerk with your demons.
No,
dash.
Bro.
Tumi Morake. This is funny. Azalea Nivenay says, who else had pliers to switch channels between their black and white TV? Pliers?
I don't think I'm old. I'm that
pliers.
Old. Pliers and not die of electric shock from putting pliers in
pliers.
The TV. I know about the aerial, when you'd have to hold the aerial and then if you hold your ear, it's clear. You let go of your ear, it's not clear. You hold your ear, it's clear. You're like, how is this happening?
People forget, again, if we're going to be nostalgic, they forget about the aerials.
Yes, the aerials.
The bunny ears that you used to have on your TV. Ever. That's hilarious.
And then you had that one neighbor who you knew, that's the guy you called to get on the roof. Because if your mother catches you getting on the roof, you're getting the beating of your life. You may as well have fallen off the roof because you're black and blue anyway after that.
Oh, that's so great.
Before satellites and stuff. Yes.
Simon wants to know, when and where are we going to watch the roast?
It's going to be on Showmax. The live recording is happening at the Sandton Convention Center if you want to come. There's still tickets. So it's happening live at the Sandton Convention Center this Friday, the 2nd of May.
Oh, here we go. We got the graphics up.
Oh, there we go. And then I don't know when Showmax is going to televise it. Unfortunately, it's not live.
Oh, that's...
You can't watch it live, I mean.
I can't even see you in that.
What do you mean?
I know that's meant to...
There I am. I
know it's meant to be you at the bottom right.
No, it's makeup and maybe one dress size ago.
And what's that I like your her now, like this in the studio.
Yes,
like
that was my corporate there. Look, you know.
Look at Helen, though. She looks fucking angry. Hey, isn't that a great picture? She looks fucking furious.
She looks like she's going to torch all of us.
Yeah. She is there to fight.
And I love how Patricia de Lille looks like she's going to bring the Coup sisters.
Patricia de Lille's using the same picture they use for government communications and information services.
JJ Tabari looks like he's going, I was just having a coffee. They said I must come here. Coconut Kills look like Coconut Kills. Londi London's like, oh my God, I'm going to look so cute. Rian looks like.
Who's that white chick at the bottom there?
Oh, that's Tammy Taylor. The chick who owns Tammy Taylor. No, Tammy Taylor. Not Tammy.
The chick from Real Housewives.
Yes, but her real name is Mel. Sorry.
Yes.
I said Tammy Taylor because she owns the Tammy Taylor salons.
Yeah, that's right. I mentioned her earlier, but I wouldn't have recognized her.
Yeah, she's
Did you watch those Real Housewives things?
I can't. There are certain things I can watch. Those things I don't watch because I know I'll get sucked in. So I don't watch.
Oh, so you stay away, huh?
Yeah, I stay away. Because sometimes I'm like, why am I still here? Why am I watching this? It's
The series I can't do.
Do you know the only reality TV show I ever really committed to be honest with you, in my entire life, to the point where I was there season after season after season, was Playgirls of the Girls of the Playboy Mansion. Girls of the Playboy Mansion.
You're joking.
I watched religiously. And I had such a fascination with Hugh Hefner.
Yes.
Like, I love the man. I even watched a documentary on him.
What a fascinating man, though.
He really, really was. And for the longest time, I wanted to be a centerfold. I was like, I would want to be the first.
And we're back to show us your tits.
Black centerfold. And I don't know. There was just something he did that made me feel.
Good or?
I don't know how to explain it, man. I didn't find him lecherous. I didn't find him creepy. No.
I always thought Hugh Hefner, especially the little bits that we knew about him towards the end, was a bit sad.
Yeah, but that's the thing. When you watch this thing, you felt like here's this old man who's just got these friends, these play bunnies, these playmates.
Yeah.
And you didn't get the sense that at every given moment he's trying to shag.
No.
You got this thing of he really likes these girls. And on some level, he empowers them, which is weird. But I don't know. It's almost like, you know how everybody tries to understand Michael Jackson and the whole being friends with kids thing?
Mm.
So with Hugh Hefner, I think that was my thing. And I also felt like, I feel like if I did this and I met Hugh Hefner, like I wouldn't be made to be like a piece of meat.
What a fascinating thing that is. I did not expect to hear this morning that Kumi Morake's favorite reality show, the only one that she watched from beginning to end, was Girls of the Playboy Mansion.
It was also how different they were.
And that Hugh Hefner was the knight in shining armor.
But those girls were also different.
Sure.
And just to see, it was almost like to see the money side of because the sex business is so different. I feel like it's such a wide thing.
What happened to those women? From the Playboy Mansion.
One of them married a famous basketballer, was it a baseball player? The other one started a business because she was studying when they were still on the reality TV show. And she actually went into business and she's doing really well. The other one continued to be a dancer. I think she was in Las Vegas the last time I checked in on her and I still cared. And then, they all went their various ways. But it was so interesting. But also you could tell the ones who were just there for surface shit. And then there were those who genuinely cared about Hugh.
That's a hell of a thing. I never got into the show much, but I always just assumed they were just there for the money and the shine.
Guys, think about
it. They actually loved him.
In this age of hashtag MeToo's and all of these exposure of things that people are doing, is nobody realizing that you're not getting horror stories out of Hugh Hefner and the girls from
him?
And for me, it says a lot. Because I feel like the sex industry is so old. It doesn't have to have people
as
dark as they are, you know, ruining it. Like, I think that
I will say that hot vibes. Actresses have become very rare things since Harvey Weinstein. There are very few hot actresses around. I think, you know, I mean, obviously, I don't approve of anything he did, but there were hotter actresses. There were hotter actresses. Up. Like, now, you know that. Rachel Zegler from Snow White.
Mm-hmm.
She's very average. She would never have got in during Harvey Weinstein's time.
But there's some hotties there, man.
Aye, but who?
I don't know.
No, the last one I got really excited about was Margot Robbie. And frankly, the years are wearing kind of hard. She's Australian. But
also, Gareth, you're also getting old. So your standards of
beauty. I mean, please. Sitting where they're sitting. Can you translate this? Okay, so I do not know what the fuck this guy's talking about. Okay. So just listen and give it a go. Have you got the clip? Go for it.
Hey, look, G. I told you from the beginning it can get like this. Diamond on my neck and I can't connect on my mother. I came. Hey, look, G. I told you from the beginning it can get like this. Diamond on my neck and I can't connect on my mother. I came up, put it in the night. I got the key to success. Rich, she, just by the truck. Big Paul, I yeah. Whole crew, when much span work, got it, she done quit.
I think that's how you look at your kids when they disappoint you. What is he saying? Any idea?
Did he just say you'll get killed out here? He's got his drip and he's got the key to his safe because he's rich. So he can't be poor out here in these streets.
Yo, you are way better than I was. Shit. Have you got the translation? Holy shit.
Yeah, but that's because you must understand I've got kids who speak that. Like the
Do they
time,
speak that stuff?
Yeah, listen, he took my nugget last time. He's like, yeah, mom, Phantom Text. And I was like, Phantom who did what to who? Phantom Text.
What did she Phantom take text. Your nugget?
Yeah, because I was chowing. And he takes my nugget and he's like, Phantom Text, twin. Nugget, break bread, KFC. Twin. Break bread, twin.
Wow. So they actually speak to you like this and you had to learn.
Yeah, things are skibbity.
Skibbity.
Yeah.
Why are you two laughing?
Like I'll do something really cool. And they're like, yo, mom, how'd you do that? I'm like, because I'm Sigma. And they're I did not Sigma. I'm like, that's what's up. I'm Sigma.
You are keyed in. Huh?
I'm raising children. I don't think I meant to. It's a survival thing. You know how?
You've just added layers of complexity. Fuck, you're a spectacular human being. You know that. You really are. I'm so blown away by this. You could speak that fucking bullshit that guy was just talking. I can't speak that bullshit. It makes no sense to me.
Because it doesn't. It's not in your world.
No.
I think if it's in your world, it becomes that. Like I said.
I don't want it in my world.
No, I feel like, you know, we live in a world where, again, we lose our kids. And you need to keep up with them, guys. You need to keep up
it's
with them.
It's a lot of work, man.
It is, but you know.
All right.
By the time they become, if they become like serial killers or whatever, I want to be able to be like me. I did my best. Yes, my receipts. I did me. It's not me. It's them.
So here's a little video I want to show you. This happened in Arizona. You know, I worry sometimes that you spend so much time in America. A high-speed boat race was on in Lake Havasu in Arizona. A speed boat going 200 miles per hour. It's fast as fuck. Flipped backwards midair and crashed into the water. Both races inside survived. So, you know, you don't have to worry. This is not one of those situations where you insensitive viewers should tune out now. You can watch this because both survived, okay, with minor injuries thanks to safety gear. Wear your seatbelts, kids.
Yep.
Despite the dramatic crash, the boat still crashed, still crossed the finish line and won. The others must have. Fuck slow. Because it flipped. They turned it back over, carried on, and finished and won.
That's insane.
What were the other guys like in a canoe? All right. Here's the video. Take a look at this quickly.
Heart-stopping video as a speedboat goes airborne at 200 miles an hour.
No! No! Oh, my God.
Here it is from another angle. You can see the boat flies up, then flips and spins around before crashing back into the water. The two men on board were trying to break a speed record on Lake Havasu in Arizona. And look at this video inside the boat as the accident unfolded. The speed right before the crash, 210 miles per hour.
Oh my God!
Other boats rushed to the scene.
And it flew like a kite. It flipped. It spun.
Ryan Ola is a member of the crew. That's the wrecked vessel behind him.
it felt like it took an eternity to get to the boat and see what was actually going on.
Incredibly, the two men in the boat survived.
The safety capsule is designed to keep the drivers safe as possible. One walked away with a broken collarbone and some broken ribs. The other one would just had a fractured knee.
Oh, that's pretty wild, huh? I don't have any desire to go that fast in that boat on that water.
You know, that's when your ancestors are like, you're making us work overtime. Like, we don't get paid enough for this. What?
But wear your safety belt, kids. I was driving to an event the other night. A friend of mine wanted to, his daughter is very into fashion week and fashion and design and modeling and all that shit. So his daughter says, Daddy, I want to go to this thing. So he calls me. He's like, listen, motherfucker, it's time for you to help me. So I managed to get tickets to this show. So I have to go as well, which is the irritating, because what do I know about fashion shows, right? So we're sitting in the front row, and she's just in her element, and she's having such a fun time and taking pictures, and she's with a little friend as well. Anyway, we leave there, get into his car with the girls in the back. Now we're going to drive off to somewhere else. And she says, who put your seatbelt on first between your dad and me? So I go, I think he beat me by a minute. Why? By a second. She goes, no, well, we've got this game that whoever puts their seatbelt on last has to give the other one $100. $100. So I'm like, what a clever idea to get your kids to do seatbelts. Because otherwise, unlike those two lucky motherfuckers in that boat, I mean, you never know what kind of crazy shit's going on the road, right? And I always used to be one of those people who's like, ah, seatbelt, schmeat belt. Mm. Now I'm like, I get in, I just do it. Mostly because my car goes ding, ding, ding.
It won't stop.
Oh, it's so annoying, right? Yeah.
Having been in a car that rolled, I appreciate seatbelts.
I remember when you had that accident.
Yeah.
Yo.
Now people must wear their seatbelts, guys. It's not a joke, eh?
Now, ChatGPT is expanding its capabilities to include shopping features. We don't have problems shopping. We just don't have enough money to shop, right?
There's too much choice out there. What I hate about shopping is that there's now too much choice of the same damn thing. And before, it used to be even easier because you'd go, I'm just going to go for the cheaper thing. But then, of course, with cheaper as well, you're going, by paying less, I might get less quality.
Yeah.
Right? But now you get the same thing at the same price, but it's not quite the same. You know what I mean?
Hong Kong.
Yeah. It's like when the pharmacy will tell you, no, the generic and the original are exactly the same. And then you take the generic and then you're like, no, man.
Oh, really? Have you noticed they're different?
Not all of them. But there's certain things where I refuse to take a generic. Like if I have to take schedule 4 or 5 medicine, and then they tell me there's a generic alternative, I don't want the generic. I don't. I want that. Listen, give me that extra cocaine. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what they supplemented this thing with.
There was a time when they used to prescribe cocaine over the counter.
I saw this I went to the Coke Museum in Atlanta, and I was looking at the guy who came up with Coca-Cola was a pharmacist. I was like, well, makes sense.
He was shoveling
that is insane.
He was shoveling cocaine into the Coca-Cola, and people were like, this is the greatest drink ever. I'm like, you're fucking right.
But it wasn't, though. No.
Nonsense, man. Don't spoil my fantasy.
Okay, fine. You must go to the museum. But here's the
thing. So tell me about the Coke Museum.
I don't want to ruin it for people. They must come on, to the Coke Museum.
Not everyone's going
to get to see the journey of Coca-Cola. You get to see the guy who tried to come up with a fake Coca-Cola. I was like, there's people who've tried to come up with fake Coke? That's hilarious.
Oh, please, Coke tried that. You remember when they made vanilla Coke? What a disaster. Remember that shit?
It was
a thing for 5 minutes, and then it was a tanking failure.
Now, it was interesting to see Coke all over the world. It's so interesting to find such a uniting thing, a common thing from all over the world. And just the journey, with this guy who came up with Coke, and the idea of it was to help the workers keep going. Like, it was supposed to be there for energy and for...
Slaves need energy.
But it started off from pain. It started off with pain. So you started off with the pain...
The industrial revolution.
To treat fatigue.
Yeah.
To treat fatigue and something else.
Now we have energy drinks.
And now we have energy drinks, but we have Coca-Cola for fun. But it was such a dope experience, man. But it made me think about drugs now, Jorge. I feel like as people, we are too sterile We are too, now we're becoming too drug-free. Like,
we need more drugs.
We need more drugs.
Well, I'll
I think
you.
The world is getting worse and worse, and I think it's because the drugs are just...
It's the people who are trying to make it safe. They're
trying to make the world safe. No risk, like, no return.
Exactly. And I'm not saying everybody needs to go out there and start taking huge quantities of drugs.
No.
But we need to...
Just enough.
You know, we were talking about it earlier. Like, as a kid, you go out, as long as you're home before the sun goes down, you're okay. Like, now, everybody's so... Careful. Hyper, this is post-COVID trauma we're still going through, right? Hypersensitive to bad things.
Yeah.
Bad things shouldn't happen. Anyway, you develop characters through bad things. And I'm not saying you have to go out and fucking do edibles with someone you've never met.
Yeah.
But I do think people need to live a little.
They do. I mean, I look at my kids and I was saying to them, guys, the way you make friends in the neighborhood is by walking in the damn street. Like,
they're like, no.
No, they're like, yeah, but mom, kids get kidnapped. I'm like, really? You don't have to punch someone in the throat? No, like,
I would have thought you, of all people, would have delivered the prize line. Who's going to kidnap you?
You. Hey, my friend. And actually, I have told them that. I'm like, I'm sure they'll pay me to come and fetch you. They'll
I
be like,
said
please.
Once, and it really upset one of my friends. She was like, oh, I'm so worried about kidnapping. I'm like, your kids are going to be kidnapped. She's like, what
You're
do you
terrible.
Mean? She goes, what do you mean? Pastor, he's overweight. He's not particularly bright. She was horrified. And then eventually she did laugh. I mean, she realized.
Like the effort of carrying him into the car is going to be, they're going to be like, this is not worth
She's
it.
Like, of course, try and pack a guy like that into a van. This child weighs like, I don't know, 60. For a child, that's a fucking lot.
And then you're going to try and feed the child.
Pedophiles
and the child.
Are, if anything, pedophiles are lazy. You know? And most of the time, they're sitting outside the school, probably falling asleep.
Yeah.
Then they wait for the bell.
Yeah.
I mean, let's think about these people's modus operandi. They're not hard workers.
They're not.
So
they're not.
If you want, if you're really terrified that about pedophiles and your children, keep feeding them.
And also the kids will also traumatize the pedophile. Like, I feel like kids nowadays.
You know how much fun that funny as fuck that the kids will piss the pedophile off before he gets
they'll
to abuse
They'll mess
them.
Him up. They will mess
you
him up.
You pathetic pedophile.
Today's kids. And they'll all have their cameras. I'll be like, yeah, so you finna show us your thing, huh? You finna show us that little pink porky.
And the pedo will fall apart. I love that.
They will break him down.
Happy.
And they'll be like, why don't you go kill yourself? No, these kids don't play. These kids don't play.
Listen, I'm having too much fun for this time of the day. I thought this morning when I drove in and I parked my car, I'm like, I love that you come here. You don't have to come here. You half the time you're not even in the country. But it makes me so happy to see you in the morning. Thank you very much for being
good
on the
to
show.
See you. So
I
good
love you
to
lots.
See
you. Don't miss the roast. Yes. Helen Zilla's roast. Gonna be Godzilla. I mean, what a show that's going
to
be.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to, I promise you, I'll watch that. I don't watch scheduled TV, but I'll watch that.
Scheduled TV.
No, who does? Remember, I mean, like, there was a time when we, you know, 7 o'clock, you had to be there for this. No, please.
No, you can't miss anything.
This is why people can't make arrangements.
Yeah.
They don't know how to make arrangements because I'll watch it tomorrow. Someone says, oh, you got to watch this show. You're like, oh, I'll add it to my notes. I'll put it on my notes. You know?
It's true.
Oh, fuck. Ridiculous. I am hosting a birthday party for one of my best friends on Friday.
Oh, nice.
She's coming up from KZN where she lives. There are one or two people coming out from America.
Nice.
And we're going to do like a proper reunion of all the people. It's going to be fantastic. I'm so excited about it. So
I'm glad.
I've had to like
a reunion where nobody's dead.
Hmm?
A reunion where nobody's dead.
Yeah.
Now you won't feel bad about
feeling
good. Well,
there are one or two, but we joke about them
yeah.
in their absence. And I hope that you're all planning a very good long weekend, even though it isn't. Like a lot of people are going to take Friday off, Thursday, tomorrow. So really, today's like mini Friday.
Yeah, it's baby Friday.
All right, everybody. That's all we got time for. Thank you, Tumi Morake, and thank you to James and to Flex, and most especially to you. We will see you on Friday morning. We'll be here.
Whoop, whoop.
Bring the camera, son. Bring the camera. All the young girls who want to make life with pussy, your pussy will perish with you in hell. May your pussy perish with you. May your smooth pussy creamier pussy and tight pussy.